Good morning, church. We are so glad that you are here today. It is a beautiful day. God blessed us with more rain last night. We praise his name for all of his good gifts. I wanted to read from Psalm 62 this morning. Psalm 62, these words from God. Well, hopefully, open our hearts and our eyes to what God has done and what he is doing today. Psalm 62, 5. For God alone, O my soul, wait in silence, for my hope is from him. He only is my rock and my salvation, my fortress. I shall not be shaken. On God rests my salvation and my glory. My mighty rock, my refuge is God. Trust in him at all times, O people. Pour out your heart before him. God is a refuge for us. This will be very important to understand and to celebrate today as we bring praise to our foundation, to our fortress, and to our salvation. Let's go to our Father in prayer. Heavenly Father, we bow our heads. We join our hearts together in faith as we worship you. For you alone are God. You alone are our hope and our salvation. You hold all things in your hand. You have made all things good. Blessed be your name. Father, we thank you for drawing us together. We thank you for giving us this time today to sing praises, to give you glory, to recognize you in our hearts, in our minds, in our voices, in our lives. Father, we praise you and we thank you for the sacrifice of Jesus. We thank you for pouring out your love upon all of us through what he has done at Calvary. And Father, we pray today that you fill us with your spirit so that we may worship you, that we may give you all that we have. We love you. We thank you for loving us. We thank you for making us one in Jesus Christ. And I pray, Father, that each and every day we will remember our confession. We will live our faith. Help us in all these things. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Good morning. As we begin our worship period with song service, I'd like you to please stand if it is comfortable with you to do so. We're going to start with a praise medley. Oh, praise the Lord, all ye nations. Praise him, all ye people. Praise him, all ye people. Oh, praise the Lord. Praise him, all ye people. His merciful kindness is great toward us, is great toward us. And the truth of the Lord endureth forever, forever and ever, ever and ever. Praise ye the Lord. To God be the glory, great thing.
things he hath done. So loved he the world that he gave us his Son. Who yield his life on atonement for sin, and open the life gate that all may go in. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, let the earth hear his voice. Praise the Lord, let the people rejoice. Oh, come to the Father through Jesus the Son, and give him the glory, great things he hath done. Praise the Lord, ye heavens, adore him. Praise him, angels in the height. Sun and moon rejoice before him. Praise him, all ye stars of light. Hallelujah, amen. 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 Amen.
Please be seated. Song for scripture reading and prayer. Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise him, all creatures here below. Praise him above ye heavenly host. Praise Father, Son, and
First Peter chapter 5 verses 1 through 11. 1 Peter 5, 1 through 11. So, I exhort the elders among you as a fellow elder and a witness of the sufferings of Christ, as well as a partaker in the glory that is going to be revealed. Shepherd the flock of God that is among you, exercising oversight, not under compulsion, but willingly, as God would have you. Not shameful gain, but eagerly, not domineering over those in your charge, but being examples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the unfading crown of glory. Likewise, you who are younger, be subject to the elders. Clothe yourselves, all of you, with humility towards one another, for God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, so that at the proper time he may exalt you, casting all your anxieties on him, because he cares for you. Be sober-minded, be watchful. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion seeking someone to devour. Resist him, firm in your faith, knowing that the same kinds of sufferings are being experienced by your brotherhood throughout the world. And after you have suffered a little while, the God of all grace, who has called you to his eternal glory in Christ, will himself restore, confirm, strengthen, and establish you. To him be the glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Let's pray together. Father God, we thank you for this awesome day that you have blessed us with and for this life you have given us to live to serve you. God, we ask as we do so that we be watchful of what the enemy has to throw at us, and that we resist him, and that we constantly focus our eyes and attention on you. In Jesus' name, amen.
How deep the Father's love for us, how vast beyond all measure, that he should give his only Son to make a wretch death's treasure. How great the pain of searing was. The fall that turns his face away. As wounds which make the chosen one bring many sons to glory. Behold the man upon the cross. My sin upon his shoulders. Ashamed I hear my mocking voice call out among the scoffers. It was my sin that held him there until it was accomplished. His dying breath has brought me life. I know that it is finished. I will not boast in anything. No gifts, no power, no wisdom. But I will boast in Jesus Christ. His death and resurrection. Why should I gain from his reward? I can not give an answer, but this I know with all my heart. His wounds have paid my ransom.
Romans chapter 5. Romans chapter 5, beginning in verse 6. For while we were still weak, at the right time, Christ died for the ungodly. For one will scarcely die for a righteous person, though perhaps for a good person one would dare even to die. But God shows his love for us, and that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Since therefore we have been justified by his blood, much more shall we be saved by him from the wrath of God. For if while we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his son, much more now that we are reconciled, shall we be saved by his life. More than that, we also rejoice in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received reconciliation. Therefore, just as sin came into the world through one man, and death through sin, and so death spread to all men because all sinned. For sin indeed was in the world before the law was given, but sin is not counted where there is no law. Yet death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over those whose sinning was not like the transgression of Adam, who was a type of the one who was to come. But the free gift is not like the trespass. For if many died through one man's trespass, much more have the grace of God and the free gift by the grace of that one man, Jesus Christ, abounded for many. And the free gift is not like the result of that one man's sin. For the judgment following one trespass brought condemnation, but the free gift following many trespasses brought justification. For if because of one man's trespass, death reigned through that one man, much more will those who receive the abundance of grace and the free gift of righteousness reign in life through the one man, Jesus Christ. Therefore, as one trespass led to condemnation for all men, so one act of righteousness leads to justification in life for all men. For as by the one man's disobedience the many were made sinners, so by the one man's obedience the many will be made righteous. Now the law came in to increase the trespass, but where sin increased, grace abounded all the more, so that as sin reigned in death, grace also might reign through righteousness, leading to eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for the obedience of your Son. We thank you for your love displayed in sending him to be that sacrifice. Lord, at this time we reflect back on your Son's life. The love that he showed, the wisdom that he shared, the hope that he gave. Lord, we think about his body, his physical body, and the pain that he suffered, but he did it willingly, knowing the result. Lord, we know that he is with you now, that you raised him from the dead. And we as Christians know what that means for each and every one of us. It's in your Son's name we pray. Amen. Lord, we come to you again this morning. Mindful of the pain that your Son bared. When life was given, blood was shed. There's life in the blood. And just as your Son took that cup and gave it to his disciples, we take this cup this morning that represents his blood, the life that he gave, and the life that we now have. Lord, it's in your Son's name we offer up our prayer. Amen. What a blessing it is to be in Christ, isn't it? The Lord has blessed us in many ways. He's also blessed us financially. He's blessed us with spiritual gifts. He's given us each different strengths. We bring all those to Him as we offer our sacrifices to Him. Will you pray with me this morning? Lord, we thank you for your love and your blessings. We thank you for all that you've given us. We know that all good things come from you. Lord, this morning we pray over this contribution that it will be used wisely, that it will be used in a way that will give you the glory, and that will strengthen and bless your kingdom and bless those around us. It's in your Son's name we pray. Amen. On the first Sunday of every month, we have a second collection, and this money goes to support our mission work. So at this time, we will pray for that collection as well. Lord, we know that you have charged us with sharing your word, to taking the good news to all the world, to passing that on to those that are around us, to just to bring them back to you, to show them life in you. And Lord, we pray for those that have the strength and the ability to go places far off, to go to worlds that are in many ways very different than ours here. Lord, we pray that you give them courage and strength. Lord, we pray that you will speak through them, that hearts will be touched, that hearts will be broken. Lord, we pray for this offering at this time. We pray that it will further your kingdom, that it will bless those greatly that receive it. It's in your Son's name. Amen.
And that's why I'm sharing my faith. He is able, more than able, to accomplish what concerns me today. He is able, more than able, to handle anything that comes my way. He is able, more than able, to do much more than I could ever dream. He is able, more than able, to make me what he wants me to be. I will trust him, always trust him, when I can't predict my life's rise or fall. I will trust him, always trust him, when I can't understand my life at all. I will trust him, yes, I'll trust him, to make all things to work for good to me. I will trust him, always trust him, to make me what he wants me to be.
Church, it's great to see you today. It is, isn't it? I'm glad that you are here. I'm so thankful that the Lord brought us together and to see clearly the righteousness of God in Jesus Christ. Such an amazing and powerful blessing. So let's go to our Father in prayer, and we'll tackle the Word. Our Father in heaven, we continue our worship this morning by looking at Jesus. We have offered Him praise before Your throne. We have communed with Him. Our minds and hearts have been filled with gratitude for His sacrifice. And we pray, Lord, that as we study the Scriptures together, as we look at Jesus, open our eyes and open our hearts so that we will walk and live every day with Him. You have blessed us with so many things. You take care of our lives. You watch over all that we must go through. You never forsake us or leave us. Father, we know that Your presence in our lives is not determined by our comfort level. We know that Your presence in our lives is determined by Your promise and Your Word. We trust You. We love You, and we thank You. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. In Matthew chapter 9, we see Jesus walking through the towns of the area of His ministry. And if you can imagine with me, Jesus walking through town. He's going through the streets, and He's perusing the markets, possibly seeing what fish is good that day, what's the catch of the day, who's got the freshest bread that's out there, just kind of just filling up His nostrils with great smells. He goes through temples and synagogues, and He sees how people worship and how they're living their lives. And He notices something going on with all the people. In Matthew chapter 9, at the end, verse 36, look at what He sees. Matthew 9:36 says, when He saw the crowds, He had compassion for them because they were harassed and helpless like sheep without a shepherd. People were worried. They were troubled. They were helpless. They were walking around dejected. Seems like Jesus could have been walking our streets today, doesn't it? Seems like what Jesus saw all around Him is exactly what you and I see all around us. People are helpless, dejected, just living their lives and wondering, where's the joy? Where's the fervor? Where are the smiles? And Jesus walks right into that. And the amazing thing about our Lord and Savior is that He has something to say about it. Church, our enemy is using fear and helplessness as his currency in this world. That's what he's using. Fear and helplessness. You shouldn't have hope. You should worry. Here's something to worry about. Tomorrow when you get up, here's something new to worry about. The next day after that, oh, I got plenty. So you should worry. You should worry about this. You should worry about that. You should worry about you. You should worry about those around you. You should worry about your country. You should worry about your family. You should worry about your government. You should worry, 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 worry. And it's got us all just... And some of us, the worry has turned to depression. And some of us, the worry has turned into self-preservation. And we see people just have lost common decency around us, right? If you insult me, then it's not just an insult, but now it's a fight. And everyone is just redlining. So the enemy's just sitting back going, well, I got them. They have no energy to think about God. They have no energy to consider Jesus because all they're doing is considering themselves. And themselves is a mess. Well, in some ways, this is no different than what the enemy has always done. If the enemy can get us focused on ourselves, then we don't think about Jesus. But Jesus will not leave well enough alone. You ever notice that about our Lord and Savior? He does not enter into a life and say, yeah, looks pretty good. I guess I'm done here. It doesn't matter how long you've been a Christian, how many years you are walking with our Lord and Savior, He does not leave well enough alone. He says, look, there are more places that we can go. There are more things that we can do. It is life. Let's live it. And so a couple chapters later, we'll be in Matthew chapter 11. Jesus is going to step in with a solution. And this morning, we're going to focus on the Lord's solution. Matthew chapter 11, starting in verse 25. So into a world that we can relate to very much today, at that time Jesus declared, I thank you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that you have hidden these things from the wise and understanding and revealed them to little children. Yes, Father, for such was your gracious will. All things have been handed over to me by my Father, and no one knows the Son except the Father, and no one knows the Father except the Son, and anyone to whom the Son chooses to reveal him. Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Church, I'm just going to come out this morning and start with the end in mind. Words of Jesus Christ. We better hear him again, because this is not me, this is him. Jesus says, my yoke is easy and my burden is light. The yoke of Jesus Christ is easy, and the burden of Christ is light. I think we need to let that in our hearts. Because I think that from time to time, you and I walk those same steps that these people walked. And they're broken down. They're laboring. They're heavy laden. Again, these two verbs are important. They're weary. They're worn out. Because number one, they are toiling. This word labor, it means toiling. They are working. These are people who are trying to get close to God. Okay? These are not people that are just running around living sinful lives. These are people that are trying to live close to God. They are laboring. They are toiling. Because someone has come along and taught them, you got to do this, and you got to do this, and you got to do this. And this is how you are acceptable to God, and this is how you are acceptable to God. And here's what you got. And they're just working and toiling. Maybe someday God will love me enough. Maybe someday God will accept me for who I am. Maybe someday God will give me what I need, and so I will work and I will toil. And it was hard. And teachers would come along and they would say, yeah, but you need to feel bad about this. You need to feel guilty about this. That's where the heavy laden comes from. These two verbs that he says that people are having. They're working hard, so they are striving, and they are having things dumped on their shoulders. They are heavy laden. So they are trying to do the job of getting close to God, and at the same time, people are just pouring stuff on their shoulders. Well, you're not doing this right. You're not doing that right. And you got to carry this burden, and you got to carry that burden. And you have to, and again, think about all the things that all these rabbis were doing and what they were adding to God's law. They are coming along and saying, well, if you really want to be acceptable to God, You need to do this. And if you really want to be acceptable to God, you need to do that. And that sacrifice doesn't seem worthy, and that sacrifice doesn't seem worthy. And your life here could be fixed, and your life there could be fixed. Look, I know why the world's worn out. Because they listen to the news. They listen to the news, and they determine what my day is going to be like by what everybody else is listening to around me. So I know why they're worn out. Church, I don't get why we're worn out. And when I say we, I mean Christians. Christians in the world today. Because we're wore out, aren't we? I could use a 6-month vacation on an island, alone, with no phone, and no TV, and no distractions. You'd probably join me, wouldn't you? If I said, hey, I got an island, let's go. Of course, then you'd ruin my solitude, but, you know. Now, you and I can use a break. We're worn out. And Jesus speaks right to that. And he says, look, my way of living, my teaching for you is not about your work, is not about me putting burdens on your shoulders. Jesus says, my way of teaching and living and coming to God is light. It's simple. And church, as you and I hear the words of our Savior, Jesus Christ, our backs should be straightening up. Our shoulders should be lightened. We should stand a little bit taller and realize, wait a minute, that I follow Jesus. I trust Jesus. I believe Jesus, so shouldn't my burdens be lighter? Shouldn't my toil be easier? Shouldn't my service to him somehow look different? I think it should. I think it absolutely should. The way of Jesus is simple, and it does not make our lives more complicated. His way is easy. Now, he's not calling us to laziness, okay? Because I know there's some of you here, me included, that just being raised as a Christian, being raised in the church, anytime we talk about Christianity being easy, our mind starts to go and the enemy starts to play in our minds and say, wait a minute. He's saying you don't have to do anything, that you just be one of those lazy Christians and you don't strive for righteousness and you don't constantly work and serve to bring God glory. He's trying to take us to apostasy by just sitting around and doing nothing. No. No. That's not what Jesus is calling us to. Did Jesus call us to nothing? Did he call us to sitting around? Jesus didn't sit around. He didn't. He was constantly on the move. He was constantly on the move, living his life, doing what the Father had given him to do. But there's a difference. There's a difference between being forced to do something that you don't want to do and enjoying every day's work because you know that it is a gift from God. That's the difference. You know how you feel when you're forced to do something? Yeah, me too. Ugh. I hate this. I don't want to do it. I don't want to be here. It's something I have to do, but I don't want to do it. So you know what you're going to get? This. This is what you get when I'm forced to do something. I don't like that task. Honey, one of the kids is sick. I need you to help out. I changed a diaper like 6 weeks ago, okay? Babe, I really think we should take some time and spend together alone. I feel disgusting. Get away from me. tugging at your heart and I'm walking towards that person that is poor, that is broken, that is angry, that is masked up. They need to hear about me. Look, I want to safely come and run my errands and go back to the safety of my home. That's all I want to do. I don't want to talk to anybody extra. I don't want to talk to anybody. I don't want to encounter anyone that I really don't have to. You guys are all mad that prices are going up and Walmart doesn't have any checkers anyway. Self-checkout, I don't have to see anything. I don't talk to anybody. Bag my own groceries, no big deal. Look, you can plug yourself in and you can fill in whatever blank that you want of the lives that we are leading. And we put so much work in kicking against the goads and just not going where Jesus wants us to go. And Jesus says, it's real simple. It's real simple. I love you and so we love other people. We don't escape from them. We encounter them. We love them. We serve them. Jesus says, that's where I am. And if you're following me, that's where you're going to be. Isn't that crazy? Isn't that crazy that Jesus says, those who follow me will actually be where I am? What kind of witchcraft is that? Jesus says, I'm going to be somewhere. We know where he was because we have the gospel account. I'm going to hang out with a certain kind of people. And if you're with me, you're going to be with me. What? That means I got to go where? That means I got to talk to who? That means you actually want me to share the gospel and not just be nice and not spit on them? Jesus said, it's easy. Simple, really. And my burden's light. You know how you feel when you're following Jesus? It's easy going, isn't it? It is. It's easy going. You know what's hard about Christianity? The fight. I don't want to. Don't lead me there. That's not where I want to be. That's what's hard about Christianity, is calling yourself a Christian and not walking with Jesus. Jesus said, hey, here's where we're going. Well, that looks scary. Yeah, but I'm always with you. So come on. Hey, we're going over here. Well, I've never been over there. No, it's okay, really. I'm walking on water. You can walk on water too. Let's go. Have you seen the storms? Jesus said, seen the storms. I rule the storms. Cut it out. Do you walk with Jesus like that? Because that's easy. That's light. That's light. Jesus is taking me somewhere. Yeah, somewhere looks dangerous. Okay. Well, either Jesus is there or he's not. If he's there, is there any real danger? The answer is no. I mean, we look at it with the eyes of the flesh and go, no, I see danger here. I see danger here. I see obstacles here. And Jesus says, no, I came to make the paths straight. I came to bring down every mountain and to raise every low spot. That's what Jesus does. And you and I are toiling on the mountains, aren't we? You and I are toiling on the mountains. How do I remain with Jesus but not really be like Jesus? Because that's where all our efforts go, isn't it? I mean, I want the benefits of Jesus, but I don't want to be like Jesus. You believe this guy? I mean, I've read the story. He did some stuff. Well, Jesus makes all this possible. Let's take a look over at John's Gospel in chapter 6. How can we possibly have faith in God for our salvation and work for God for His glory? How do we do this? How do we follow Jesus? John chapter 6, verse 28. They said to him, so what do we have to do to be doing the works of God? Let Jesus just tell us. So, I mean, What is your yoke? What is your teaching? Because every rabbi had a yoke. That's what yoke means. It was a rabbi's teaching. So when Jesus says, take my yoke upon you, he was saying, live your life by my words. That's what he was in essence saying. And so they ask him here in John chapter 6, they say, so what does it look like? What is your yoke? What is your teaching? What do you say that we have to do to be pleasing to God? What does it look like? Jesus answered them in verse 29, this is the work of God. All ears are perked, right? This is it. This is what God says to do, that you believe in him whom he has sent. That you believe in him whom he has sent. That's the work of God, that you believe in Jesus. Now, look, I know for our years of religion, you and I, we've got some barriers and red flags in our brains and in our hearts. Then when we see that, we go, no, too simple, too easy. That's going to lead to heresy. Don't say that out loud. Jesus said it out loud. And here's how I know how far off our hearts have gone. They don't say, that's it. Nobody here in the story hears Jesus say, here's what God says to do. Here's God's work. Believe in the one that he has sent. Believe in Jesus Christ, Lord, Savior, Messiah. He is it. They don't ask, really? That's it? They go straight to what? What does the next verse say? Prove it. Prove it. You see, to believe in the one that God has sent is not a one verse and done life. That's not what it is. It's all encompassing. It is taking his yoke upon us, his simple, clear teaching of love. It is living that life. And they know how serious it is because they don't say, well, that's it. They want to say, prove you are who you say you are. Because if we're really going to follow that yoke, you better give us reason. Church, you and I sit here already convinced to take his yoke, do we not? You and I have already put on his yoke. You and I have already put on his yoke. We believe that Jesus is the Son of God. We believe that he is the Messiah sent from God to save his people. We believe that he is the way, the truth, and the life. That there is nothing outside of him. We already believe. However, the warning that Chester read for us, and we'll come back to it in 1 Peter chapter 5. Peter, as one shepherd speaking to the church, says, look, you need to beware of the enemy. You need to beware of the enemy. And unfortunately, church, a lot of the times, you and I, we take that simple yoke of Jesus and we take it off and we trade it for another one. We've already put on the simple yoke of Jesus and we say, yeah, but, you know, there's this. And so we trade it for a different yoke. And any other yoke turns out to be heavy. Any other yoke turns out to be complicated. And Jesus says it's not that complicated. It's not a mess. It's simple. And it's easy. A couple chapters later in John chapter 15. Chapter 15 verse 4. Now let's start in verse 3. We need to hear that. John 15:3 says, already you are clean. Already you are clean because of the word that I have spoken to you. He's speaking to his disciples and he's saying, you are saved. You're clean. You're washed. Your sins are paid for. You're clean. Abide in me and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. So these two very important things. You want to know the simple yoke of Jesus? He says, believe in me. Believe in me. Well, how do I deal with this situation in life? Jesus says, believe in me. Believe in me. Now, is that going to include some extra study? Absolutely. Jesus is a rabbi. He's a teacher. His words and his actions guide the steps of my life. And so I must be listening to my rabbi. Rabbi, what do you say about this? Ask him. Rabbi, what do we think about this? Ask him. I mean, that's what the Christian life is. It is walking close enough to Jesus. In fact, everybody knew in this culture that those closest to the rabbi, they wanted to walk in the steps of their rabbi so close that some of the dirt that he kicked up from his sandals would get on your robe. That's how close we need to be walking with Jesus. We need to be following him so closely that the dirt that he kicks up from those dusty roads just gets on us. Yeah, I'm close to the rabbi. What is he saying? Okay, I better pay attention. What is he doing? Okay, I better do that also. Where is he going? Okay, that's where I need to be. It's very simple. It's very simple. It's not complicated. See, everybody had taken at this time, everybody had taken everything God had given them, even the law and even the regulations and even everything and every part of Judaism, and every rabbi had come along and say, well, here's a good way to look at that, and so you need to read this expert's book, right? Anybody else like religious books? Anyone else have any favorite authors? I don't mean Paul. We have our favorite authors, we have our favorite books, we have our favorite following, we even have our favorite preachers. Well, I like what they're saying about this. I like what she says about this. I like the point that he makes over here. Again, you and I taking other yokes, putting them on our shoulders. Now, that's not to say that the word of God cannot be spoken through the mouths of other people. That's not what I'm saying. But you and I take something very simple that Jesus says, and we look at it and go, I don't know that I want to go there. Let me find somebody else that'll take me somewhere else. Sounds a lot like Jesus, but you know. And Jesus says, keep it simple. Walk in my steps. Get my dirt on you. Be close. Jesus, what do we think about this? Well, I know what I think about this. Well, that doesn't matter. It's very simple. What does Jesus think about this? Jesus, how would you deal with the things going on in the world around us today? He says, it's real simple. It's real simple. You're worried about a lot of things. You're worried about a lot of things, Martha. Martha. Tell my sister to help me. There's a lot of work to do. Yeah. Mary's chosen the good thing. I'm not taking it away from her. Mary's close to me. Mary's paying attention. Mary is sitting in my dust. She's figured it out. Mary's okay. Leave her alone. Leave her alone. Whew. So, Jesus says, if we are going to do the work of God, we are going to believe in Jesus. What he says, who he is, and what he does. And now, how do we serve God? How do we live our lives giving him all that we have? He says, you abide in me. You abide in me, and I'll abide in you. Because guess what? All of your efforts outside of Christ, they won't equal anything anyway. You can't bear fruit unless you abide in Christ. You can't do anything meaningful or important unless you are living each and every day with Jesus. We can't go away from Jesus and say, well, I'm going to do this good thing or I'm going to do that good thing. No, we just live with Jesus and we do good. We bear fruit. Let's turn over to Romans chapter 10. Because I know some of us, sometimes we just have a hard time accepting this. We have a hard time accepting the simplicity of the gospel. And again, you and I are guilty because our tradition has put a little extra weight on that yoke of Jesus. Have we not? And you can point at anyone's tradition. I'll point at mine. It's the one I know. But I can point at any religious tradition and say, yeah, they've got some baggage. They've put some extra weights on the end of that yoke. They've called it the yoke of Jesus, but they're putting some heavy laden on there. Everybody does. And people had a hard time with that. In the early church, the Jews and the Gentiles, the good news of Jesus was brought to the Gentiles. And he says, hey, look, you need to believe that Jesus died for your sins and he can make you a part of his family. And the Gentiles went, woo! And the Jews went, woo? And the Jews went, okay. But we got to circumcise him. Gentiles are like, what? Nobody told us about that. Oh, yeah. You got to become Jewish to be acceptable to God. The Gentiles were like, well, that's not what they told us. They said we have to become like Jesus to be acceptable to God. Well, yeah, but you know, you got to become Jewish like Jesus. Jewish like Jesus. Yeah, there's a little procedure. Procedure. Yeah. We had it. You got to get it. You got to have the procedure. Got to have the procedure to be acceptable. Got to have the procedure to be acceptable to God. All right, so Paul says in Romans chapter 10, verse 1, speaking this whole letter, he's speaking to it. Look, brothers and sisters, my heart's desire and prayer to God for them, that is the Jews, that they may be saved. I want God's people to be with God. I want God's original people to be with God. Church, I preach to you because you are God's people, and I want you to be with God. Sounds strange, doesn't it? Yeah. I want them to be saved. Verse 2. I bear them witness that they have a zeal for God, but not according to knowledge. Look, I'm here to tell you, the Jewish people, they are fired up. I mean, they really care about God, but they are absolutely ignorant of how to be close to Him. You ever seen anyone just fired up about something and just completely misguided? They had all the energy in the world, and it was just in the wrong direction. Usually called your kids. Right? It's nap time! Woo! Whoa. We're going to visit Grandma? Let's get in the car! Ah! How much longer? Whoa. iPad. Headphones. Right? Look. They have a zeal for God, but not according to knowledge. Verse 3. For being ignorant of the righteousness of God, they do not know the righteousness of God. They are seeking to establish their own righteousness, for they did not submit to God's righteousness. Ooh. For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone who believes. Look, God's original people are like, yes, we want to follow God. Here's how you do it. Here's what you got to do. Here's how you're acceptable to God. And Paul's like, no. I was there. I was living the life. And Jesus found me and said, Paul, stop it. Because you know what living the life leads to? It leads to the killing of Christians. Living the life that Paul lived led him to hunt down and kill Christians. And Jesus had to show up face to face and say, Paul, what are you doing? Paul was like, oh, I did not know. Yes, what you do not know is destroying people. Whoa, wait, my ignorance can destroy others? Merry Christmas. That's what Paul just says to the church. Oh, they have a zeal for God. But it's based in ignorance, and it is destroying others. Oh yeah, they got a really heavy yoke, and they like to... What did Jesus say about the Pharisees? What? He said a lot. But he said they like to put all these burdens on other people, yet they themselves won't lift a finger. Huh. So Jesus had a little experience with these things. So Paul says, look, here's the problem. They are trying to gain their own righteousness. They are trying to do things in their own life and say, this is why God loves me. This is why God accepts me, because I do this. Fill in the blank. A, B, C, whatever. This is why I'm acceptable to God. And Paul says they're ignorant of God's righteousness. So instead, they are seeking to establish their own. I am righteous because of what I do. And in doing so, they do not submit to God's righteousness. What is God's righteousness? Seems at this point we better understand that, right? What is the righteousness of God? Go back to chapter 1. The whole letter's about it. Chapter 1, verse 16. I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For in it, in the gospel of God, the righteousness of God is revealed from faith for faith. As it is written, the righteous shall live by faith. That's what Paul's talking about. They rejected the righteousness of God, and they sought to establish their own righteousness, and in doing so, they failed to submit to God's righteousness. And yes, submitting to the fact that Jesus Christ has died on the cross and done all the work to fulfill the law and to pay the penance for all my sin, the debt that I owe to my Creator. I have insulted Him. I have gone away from Him. I have not lived my life as He has told me to live. I do not deserve to be anywhere near God. And Jesus took that to the cross for me. Well, I'm a believer. I believe that Jesus Christ is my Lord and Savior. And now I have to... See how easy it is to seek to establish your own righteousness? You stand before God, and you can point at nothing except Jesus. But I got a lot to point to. I got a lot of years of service. I got a lot of people that I helped out, a lot of good things that I've done. I've avoided. You know how many bad things I've avoided in all my years? I got a lot to point to. God says, it doesn't matter. You don't point to anything. You don't point to anything. You submit to the righteousness of God. Because, look, if you point to anything other than what Jesus has done for you, then guess what? Your whole case file gets brought up. You don't get to pick and choose. You do not get to pick and choose. Look, church, when we stand before Jesus on that day when He comes back, no one will get to pick and choose. Well, hey, God, look at this good thing that I did, or look at that good thing. No, 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 don't open that chapter. That was a rough time. No one gets to do that. You either stand before God covered by the blood of Jesus shed on the cross, or you stand there as yourself. That's it. That's it. The only options in this world, Jesus or you. Take your pick. The option is given to everyone. The invitation is open to the entire world, all of creation. You can stand before God with the righteousness that He has provided through Jesus Christ, or you can stand before God with your sorry attempt. Which one? What do you like? That's it. That's the choice. You don't establish your own righteousness. You don't say, God, Jesus, You've done a lot. I got this. No. No. Jesus looks at everyone who's here and He says, I got this. Because you can't do it. You can't. You can't hold your life up before God. So now what do we do with this? What do we do with this? We believe that Jesus Christ died for our sins, that He paid the full price. Not the ultimate price, the full price. And our debt has been fully paid. There is no, I just need a little Jesus because I did some bad things in my teenage years. I just need a little bit of grace because, you know, I said some unkind words last week. But this is a new week. I'm not doing that anymore. We can't take a little bit of Jesus. We take all of Jesus. And now what do? Now that we believe that He has paid the price for us, we abide in Him. Where He is, we are. We stay close and we bear fruit. That's what we do. It's what we do. It's very simple. It's very simple. Chester read for us in 1 Peter chapter 5. And this is one that we'll come back to because this year we'll be working on shepherds for Sunrise. And so we'll come back and here in a month or two, we'll take a closer look at what God's Word says about elders and deacons and those kind of positions in the church. So that's not the point that I was trying to focus on this morning. It is a good part of 1 Peter chapter 5. But Peter writes, and he writes as one shepherd to those who are shepherding in the church, and he says, shepherd the flock, do a good job. But then he says in verse 5 and 6, he kind of shifts gears and he says, look, God goes against those who build themselves up. Anyone who builds himself up, and this would be kind of important, you just talk to shepherds. You just talk to those who are put in a position in the body to have some authority. Now he has to turn right around and say, he says, you don't build yourself up because God goes against the proud. God is diametrically opposed to those who build themselves up and say, I am important. Listen to me because I am important. He says, humble yourself. If you're proud of yourself, God is against you. Instead, humble yourself. So all of us then, and not just shepherds, now he brings the whole body back in, and he says in verse 6, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God so that at the proper time, he may exalt you. You live your life before God, and the proper response to that is humility. He will exalt you. You don't get to exalt yourself. You don't exalt yourself, and you don't exalt others. You humble yourself, and God will exalt you. Okay, well, I'm feeling pretty humble, Michael. I'm feeling pretty humble. I get it. Jesus did everything for it. Now what? Verse 7. Here's what we do when we find ourselves in that original situation that Jesus walked into way back into Matthew chapter 9. How are we going to deal with all the craziness in the world around us? Because in the end, that's what this lesson is all about. How are you and I going to abide in Jesus despite, and I said it, despite everything that is going on in this world around us? He says it right here. Peter helps us out in verse 7. Casting all your anxieties on him because he cares for you. Give Jesus your trouble. He cares for you. Go to God in prayer because he cares for you. Let it go because God is more powerful than Elsa. He cares for you. That's what he's saying. Give it to God. Give it to God. Well, I need to carry this. No, you don't. Well, I need to worry about this. No, you don't. Hey, anybody worried about politics any time in the last 3 months? Really? You know what we're doing? We're saying the weight of America is on our shoulders. We can make a difference because we'll worry about it. Anybody worried about their health in the last year? Liars. What are we saying? Wait a minute! The weight of my health and the health of all those around me are on my shoulders. And I will worry about it. Because that will fix it. Anybody worried about their job in the last year? Anybody worried about their family in the last year? Anybody worried about their church in the last year? Anybody walking around with anxiety still on their shoulders? Yeah. So what do? We give them to him. We give them to him. That's not platitudes. That's not like happy, smiley, cheery advice. All right, church, I'm glad you were here this week. You just go out there and give it to Jesus. He's got you. Because you know what Tuesday is going to look like, don't you? If you make it to Tuesday. Oh, I'm already worn out. I'm already tired. I'm already beat down. Church, you and I are not shining the light of Jesus. You and I are not doing anybody else in this world that are lost and going to hell if they do not confess Christ as Savior. You and I are impotent in the spiritual battle going on around us if we are walking around just like this going, oh, my back hurts from carrying all this. You be careful because your enemy is prowling around. Your enemy is out there and he's fighting dirty and he doesn't care. He doesn't care. Church, it's time to stand up. Believe in Jesus. Abide in him. Let him carry all the heavy lifting. Bear fruit. Can't be that simple. Can't be that simple. Well, the good news is you don't have to listen to me. The truth is you have to listen to Jesus. Because everybody's going to listen to Jesus. Now or later. Everybody's got to listen to Jesus. He is Lord. He is Lord. It's all his. It's all his. He made it. He rules it. He owns it. He redeems it. He'll set it right. It's all his. It's pretty simple. Now, that simple, simple yoke that he throws out there was not easy. It's not. It's not easy because you and I just keep on adding to it. That's what they were doing. That's what we do. That's what we do. I can't feel right in my Christian faith until this. I can't truly trust God until he answers this prayer. I can't really let God carry my burdens until he makes me feel better about this particular burden. Why are you and I throwing things on the Lord's yoke? He said it's light. He said it's easy. He said it. He said it. You know, some of us are tired and heavy laden. You and I are the worst heavy ladens upon ourselves, are we not? We are. We're horrible to ourselves because we listen to the enemy when the enemy goes, you're not acceptable. Jesus isn't happy about that. You think that makes Jesus happy? No. You're right, it doesn't. So repent, turn around, and get back to living. Get back to living. That's what he calls us to. That's why he died on the cross, not to make us miserable, to set us free. You like freedom? Me too. Me too. Well, it's only found in Jesus. Nobody else is offering it these days. So we have one solution. We have one solution. Let's abide in him. If you are not in Jesus Christ this morning and you need to become a Christian, we invite you to come. And despite my best efforts and your neighbors and your brothers and sisters' best efforts, I assure you God's word is true. All of us are liars. It is light and easy. I'm a liar. You're a liar. It is light and easy. Jesus said so. I got to figure that out. We got to figure that out. If you need to respond, do so. Let's stand together and sing.
Oh, Lord, thou dumbest of all wise that long for sight, thus gladness and beauty, and Jesus lives light. Come unto me, I
be laid on, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls.
When you see it.
Thank you, sir. Good morning. It's wonderful to see new old faces, new faces, lots of new faces. We thank you for coming. We thank you for being here. Today's actually Don and I's 11th anniversary. We showed up this day 11 years ago. Been there, done a lot. Holy Spirit called on me today to read a verse. Michael pretty much preached everything. Romans 8:28, pretty much, if I can get my eyes clear up now. There we go. And we know that for those who love God, all things work together for good. And I thought it was because of all the trouble we have in the world. Kind of wondered why it hasn't bothered me. You got to trust in God in all things. You got to trust in Him when it's good, things are going really well, because they can turn bad just as quick as. And it's easy to call on God when things are bad. It's hard to call on God when things are going well. And I really hope for everyone that you call on God when it's good. It's rewarding. We need to remember a few things. Rex and Becky, Miss Vickers, we need to thank God for Oren's dad's help. He is improving. We need to keep Charlie in our prayers as she starts a new job, and we pray that God's work flows through her. Robert, we're having a CT scan this week, I hear. Are we going to start the treatment the week after? We need to keep Robert in our prayers. There is a fundraiser for the children's home, boys' home, and it's a one-day-only event, but the church is going to provide a container in the back if everybody just contributes a little at a time. In October, when it's a one-day event, we will make sure it's all taken to the proper place at the proper time. That way, you're not writing big checks. You know, your extra change, what you didn't spend this week in your budget for food, or you know, it's easier to little step it than it is to write that big one sometimes. So we're grateful for the opportunity to do that. So if you would join me in prayer, please. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for this wonderful day you have made. We are humbled, and we are glad for the people that you have brought to us today, that you have spoke to them and brought them here in your presence to worship you and we are grateful. We ask you to watch over our leaders of the church, to protect them, and give them strength to allow your work to be done through them. Lord, your mercy, your love, and your grace has no comprehension. You forgive us, and you love us, and we are truly grateful. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.